Hold on just a minute. We had somebody,
I think, from, was that, Tom, was that you?
Yeah, that was me. Judge, I just wanted to also offer my assistance with the vetting process.
Is there any way, sir, you can turn up your volume?
Sir, I'm up as much as I can get. we're going through our radio network, so this is a first trial run. Can you hear
there
me
you
now?
Go. That's about double what you had before.
Okay,
that's good, Tom. I can hear you now.
I'll be more than happy to assist in that if you can put us together. Maybe we can put a team together, myself and the individual that was talking and Lori Anderson, and maybe we can get a little vetting team together to help with that process.
I think that would be awesome, Tom. And do you want to share your number with
Sure.
Do you want to share your number with Tom?
Well, we're on a live broadcast. If you call Judge Doucette,
live, so if both of you gentlemen or either one of you will call me, I will give the other one the phone number, and we'll handle it way. But yeah, we need to get this team assembled as soon as possible because this isn't waiting for us. So if we want to do this vetting process, then we're going to have to step up to the plate and get this done because we're going to start pouring marshals in as soon as they're ready.
Okay.
Hey, this is Tim from Arizona.
Okay, now who is first?
Troy from Michigan.
I'm not sure. I know at some point Troy would like to jump in.
Okay, Troy, can you wait a minute?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, so whoever was first, go ahead and go, then the other person, and then Troy.
I'm not sure who was first. Can everybody hear me?
Go ahead, Clarence. You got it. You got the point.
We have a good subject going on here, and I've made mention before that we need chief marshals in each location because they're going to be very important to the concerns that have been raised. And this is not to be taken lightly, and I don't believe anyone is taking it lightly. When we look at marshals, we also have to look at our military. And when we can find coalition soldiers raping an Iraqi woman, we have to be very attentive and very vigilant in who we bring on. And the chief marshals are very integral in this because the vetting is continual. You need someone that can monitor, educate, correct, and counsel marshals as need be. And if they have someone that's not fit to be a marshal, then you shouldn't swear in. If you're not fit, if you know you've done things that are against the Creator, and you know you've done things that dishonor the U.S. Constitution, then don't swear in. But by all means, if you are a fit marshal, I want you on my team. There's a lot more that could be said, but I felt that this needs to be put out there right now because it's going to be an ongoing process.
Well, Marshal Clarence, I would like to recommend that maybe you put together a plan on, what you're talking about as far as, having chief marshals and how you want to overwatch the other marshals and stuff, and maybe present that to us next week. Could you do that, sir?
Sounds good, yes. I'll enlist, hopefully I can get input from Marshal or Marshal Springer, and maybe DJ, and any other marshal that wants to give me input.
You guys get together, you're all marshals, you get together, and you figure out, what we need to do, and come back and let us know. But all the marshals need to remember, any marshal that becomes a marshal, you are not allowed to run out and do things on your own. And if you break the law yourself, you're going to be brought before the grand jury quicker than anyone else. And you should know that. Because you're being held to a higher level than somebody that is not taken an oath. Just like me, if I do something wrong, I should be the first one that should be brought before the grand jury. We have got to keep our integrity in this system. Yes, you may. Go ahead.
One other comment. For anyone that's a marshal or wants to be a marshal or is wondering what a marshal's duty is or how they should conduct themselves, your oath, marshals. If you are a marshal, a judge, an administrator, whatever role you play, your authority, your jurisdiction, and how you should conduct yourself is right there in your oath. If you don't violate your oath, you won't do wrong. If you violate your oath, you will do wrong, and I yield.
Thank you, sir. And who was that?
Judge DeSantis.
Justice Three Rivers.
Yes, Justice Three Rivers. How are you, sir?
Yes, fine. A nice day here in Alaska.
Well, good.
I'm not so as concerned about the bikers as I am about CIA infiltrators who would come in and really do something disastrous. So.
You know, we're going to have those people that we're going to have to deal with. And like I said, that's why if they break the law, you know, they're going to be the first to go before the grand jury.
I would suggest that the marshals become a self governing, self evaluating body.
Well, I would prefer to see them being governed by the grand jury. But yes, they need to be their own watchdogs as well. And another thing,
we don't want the police policing the police like they do in the de facto.
Yeah, you're correct with that, and that's what I'm trying to say. And then, you know, anyone that's sworn in as a marshal, you know, all of the marshal's photos and credentials will be posted on the Superior Court website. And if people have a problem with somebody that is or has been sworn in as a marshal, then they need to bring forth their affidavits of truth, and the grand jury will have to review that. Or at least that would be my suggestion. And go ahead.
Marshals could come to the grand jury with any suspicious activity or any things that they see maybe that they feel need to be looked into.
Yeah. You know, we need to have that system put in place. I totally agree with that. And remember, all of the decisions for what's happening here should come from the people, and the people is the grand jury.
Exactly. I yield.
Thank you, sir.
Troy, Michigan.
And Troy was up next.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. First of all, I'd love to express my sincerest love, appreciation, and gratitude for everyone on the call, especially to those that have set goals and milestones and have actually been reaching some of those milestones. I appreciate you immeasurably. And secondly, I would also like, if possible, to contribute to perhaps a live audio or video round table on how to begin the process of vetting incumbents. I think I might have a lot of valuable insights that might be applied, and I'd like to be a part of that, as well as anything that I can do to contribute to defining the roles of the marshals. Please feel free to reach out to me.
Judge Troy, I think you just volunteered, didn't you, to set that up? Isn't that what everybody else heard?
So now we got Bob in Chicago, Troy in Oregon, heading
go team!
All I can say is to the best of my abilities, I'm very busy like many of us are, but I will do anything and everything I can. And
Troy, we appreciate that, sir.
Well, thank you so much. And
Would you start putting up, putting that round table together? And I believe that myself and Justice Roberts need to be added to that, as well as
Bob Locke
and Tom.
So please, anyone and everyone interested in developing or whatever that round table, please email me at Troy. At globalsovereignalliance.net, and I will coordinate
that. Again,
sure.
Troy, and And I'm not going to email you. You already have my request, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. There's many people I know who to mail it to right out of the gate. But I haven't Bob Locke's contact information. I do not have Judge Roberts' information. So please send me an email, troy@globalsovereignalliance.net. And I will actually get one of these teleconferencing things set up and send you the phone number and access code to dial into that so we can start developing these processes. And thank you so much. I yield.
If I may, this is Judge Curry.
Judge Curry, how are you, sir?
Doing fine. An excellent conversation tonight. Everyone on the subject has given some really, really good information. I would suggest folks might want to think about what started this conversation in the beginning with Bruce saying it's a spiritual war. If that be the case, then we're missing one important link here between our fight and our resolve or the resolution of it using veterans. There's two subjects I want to cover really quickly here, and then I will yield. The first is that if this is, in fact, a spiritual war, then we need to get to the pastors and ministers of all the churches, and they need to start recruiting war marshals and judges, and they can put it in their sermons so very easily. Based on Judge Doucette's earlier suggestion that the term legal is the undoing of God's law. So we need not skip this particular part of the equation. We need to go directly to pastors and ministers with our message saying we need your assistance to restore America to what it is or what it was. And if they can be the administrators for folks in their churches and so on, their constituencies, and implore them to stand up and start fighting. And not fighting, but to stand up and be held accountable for what they have a right to do, and what they have a right and obligation to do, which is to protect their families, friends, and communities. That's an important link here.
You're supposed to be your brother's keeper.
Exactly. Knowing that there are quite a few bikers out there that do attend church, I would ask, I know there's a number of bikers on this call, they need to approach their pastors and say, Pastor, we really need your help. Can you deliver a message that we are restoring America and we need the support of anyone who rides a bike? You know, it could be that simple. And, of course, we know pastors and ministers have a way with words. And they need to be out there supporting our efforts. Therein lies perhaps 2 million people or 3 million people that will stand up within their church organizations and say, we've had enough. We've had enough of the judiciary. We've had enough of the corruption. We need to put a stop to this. How many marshals can we recruit today? You have to take into consideration a lot of pastors and ministers. They do not want to be called politicians. Well, it is a fact that they are. You need not look any further than Jerry Falwell or any of those other highfalutin ministers. They are indeed politicians. They affect legislation. They affect our politics throughout the country. So if people were to jump on that as much as they are jumping on the idea of biker clubs, and veterans, Oh, that would be really good. Now, my second suggestion here is...
I've been listening to that call.
My second suggestion here is that all veterans out there, and I'm speaking to the young, particularly those good, solid men and women who have come back from Afghanistan and Iraq, to stand for their oaths of office. They need to get active in protecting what they swore to protect, and that is our country, our Constitution, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I've taken that oath myself. I've never forgotten it. I will take that oath with me, as earlier indicated, to the day I am laid to rest. We need to incorporate, and I use that term very, very loosely, and I apologize for the use of it. We are the Black Fly Brigade, and we cannot be incorporated. But we need to have these young people stand up, because these are the people with muscle. These are the same people that have been recruited by the UN and our United States government to work against us. We need to get to them first, don't we? How do we do that? We go to the VA hospitals where these young people are being treated for PTSD and all sorts of maladies and ailments suffered as a result of their combat experience. And we need to tell them that their duty and obligation can never be forgotten. And should they decide, because they're going to be paid high Federal Reserve notes to fight against us, they need to be warned that fighting for the Federal Reserve is the wrong side of the road. How do we do that? We go back to the pastors and ministers who we should be relying on to get the message across. So I will yield on those two notes, and it may further the discussion tonight, but I believe that the influence, the peaceful actions are absolutely necessary. There will be some violence because some of these cabal members do not want to be taken. They do not want to spend any time in their own jails. Unfortunately, most of these people are deserving of that treatment, and I do not forgive these people for what they do lightly. I would also recommend a change in our legislature, and that can begin with our common law juries, implementing legislation into our state and federal is foreign. Go into our state governments. Our state representatives need to be cautioned and warned and noticed that new legislation is coming up that will warrant anyone who wants to be a judge in the de facto, should they choose to go that way, they must do an internship after their graduation from law school. If such law schools exist then, and I hope they do not, that they spend a minimum, if you want to become a judge, you must spend a minimum of 5 years in prison, half of which is in isolation. And if you survive the internship, then you can become a judge. Imagine what that would do to their sentencing, these mandatory sentencing laws that we have, that they have...
Judge Doucette, I need to make an announcement on the air, just real quick.
Go ahead.
Callers, you're tuned in to the Nationwide Common Law Justices call. If you want to call in and take part actively in this, you can dial 712-775-7035, and the passcode is 782-102. #. One more time for these, you guys. 712-775-7035. Passcode 782-102. #. And I yield.
Thank you, Tom.
If I may, Bruce.
Hold on. We've got to let Judge Curry finish, and I wanted to make a comment on that.
Sorry about that, Judge Curry.
I will yield on those 3 points. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, part of the purpose of bringing these marshals in, as soon as we get these marshals in, then we need to start at every county and do away with the unlawful incorporated county and elect lawful counties on the land. And that is the whole process that we're trying to put forth in bringing all these marshals on. And as people come on as marshals, they are responsible for setting up the assembly and the grand jury in their county. And then with that, I will yield to whoever
Bruce,
has
if
the
I
question
may.
Next.
Go ahead, then I have a comment after Keno.
Okay, so Keno, then we had one other person in between there, and then Judge Johnson.
Can anybody hear me?
Bruce, yes, we
Hello?
Can hear you.
Oh, okay.
We can hear you, ma'am. You
Bruce?
Have to ask for the floor before you get it. Go ahead, Keno, it's yours.
I agree with Judge Curry 100%. The only problem that I see is that a lot of the churches, synagogues, and any religious organization, a lot of them are scared to death of losing their 501c3s, and they don't speak up. And there's the only problem I see with it.
If they have a 501c3, then they're part of the government.
But people, hold on. Let Judge Curry respond to that, and then we have one other person, and then Judge Johnson. And so, people, we need to be polite on these calls, and you ask for the floor, okay? You say, may I? And then when you're done, you say, I yield. Judge Curry, go ahead. I yield.
Very good. Well, I want to thank Keno for that insert there, because he's absolutely right. The synagogues, when you're talking about synagogues, you're talking about the Jewish people. Other churches is where we need to get to. Other churches is in Protestants and Baptists and so on and so forth, Episcopalians. They are not of the Jewish class, and this is where we should be able to find a lot of recruits. You're not going to find them in the synagogues, that's absolutely sure. And as far as their 501c3s, they're going to evaporate as quickly as water off of a desert floor once the new currencies are in effect and the new global, I haven't gone all this way to believe in it, but the global reset of currencies, something tells me that that will happen, that FRNs and SRNs from the UN will dissolve, because they're just no damn good. They really aren't. They're just fiat paper. There's no backing for them. As Anna has talked about gold-backed securities, this is where the planet is heading. All geopolitical organizations and countries are in agreement that there needs to be some sustainable assets backing all of these certificates, otherwise known as promissory notes. That's something that the UN and the Federal Reserve just cannot tolerate, and they will not survive all of this. So back to my point on the 501c3s, those should not be of consideration to the churches, and I know that they are, but pastors need to be notified that all of that system is collapsing under their feet. When it comes down to what they do for their congregations, they should not be preaching what monies are going to sustain them. They need to be operating on the faith that they have in their Creator. And as many times as I've been in church, I've heard the same thing. Do not capitulate to governments and monies and banks and all of that. Well, the time is right now. I've had so many calls from ministers and pastors saying, what do we do? Well, here we have the answer on this call tonight. They need to be the administrators, the recruiters, and as many administrators of this process as we can get, all the better. I was talking with Judge Doucette earlier today, and is it SOS, Bruce, that we're talking about? Administrators for these biker clubs and so on. We need to get administrators turned into judges for the Superior Court of the United States, Continental United States of America. Let them do the recruiting. Let them be the oath takers, oath givers, and allow them the privilege and honor of recruiting their own.
Yeah,
this
and Judge Curry,
this will get you the 800,000. This will get you the 800,000 or a million marshals that we need. So on that, I will yield. Thank you.
Okay, point of order. Point of order for me as well there. You know, hold on just a minute. SOS is a separate group from the bikers. Go ahead with your point of order, Kino.
That's exactly what I wanted to bring up. If you Google SOS, that's an outlaw biker group, the Sons of Satan.
Oh yeah,
we don't want to have anything to do with them.
Well, no. There's another group that. Roger, are you on the phone? Bill?
The first thing that comes up if you Google SOS are the Sons of Satan, which are the center group.
We don't want the Sons of Satan doing this, but the group is the SOS group is actually a like a libertarian group or something like that.
Well,
I can't remember what it stands for.
About bringing up SOS.
Right. Okay. Good point.
Can I get the floor?
Yes, go ahead, ma'am. And then Judge Johnson.
Thank you very much, and hello, everybody. I'm not good at talking to a bunch of people. I'm not comfortable with it. What I'm also hearing in here, and we've got to take in other factors, and we've got to do this all very fast. I understand that. These churches, whether you're talking Christians, Protestants, Catholics, or whatever, you have to realize the priests are already pre-programmed, okay? And we've had a lot of problems with them. They're already under contract. They're getting paid by the state and the government. They don't pay taxes. And as far as some of these men coming back from war, unfortunately, for the last year or so, they've been medicated in war. So their minds are not as sharp. I'm not saying they're all bad, but we've got to be careful when we walk on that. As far as the religion, that's one group that they're using to control the population.
Thank you.
I mean, with the
Q&A session started. Q&A session is over.
That we've gotten to this point here. Okay. And the fact that these soldiers have been programmed after they went into service and have been deprogrammed as they come out, there's only going to be a handful coming out that mentally know what's going on. And I think those men are standing up now, and they should be easy enough to recognize. Right now, if you go into VA, what you're going to find is a bunch of veterans that are being over-medicated. Like myself, I would like to be involved with this. I am getting trashed here where I am by the corporations. They're trying to jail me, and I've never broken the law in my life. And everything that I know, I've learned in the last 7 months. And I've put a lot of effort into reading. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I don't just have somebody tell me such and such law. I research. And I did National Liberty Alliance, both classes. I've read the Federalist books now, and I've read Judge Anna's book. I've also got The Consent of the Governed here by Jason Hoyt. And I've read other books. I've got other books I want to read. There is a lot of people that need and want to join in this, but we're having no voice. I see them all the time on Facebook. But again, you got Facebook, you've got a lot of people that I call them trolls. They're paid people interrupting this. We also need to have a line open or a place for people, ordinary people, to go to put in any complaints and let us know when the sheriffs or the marshals or somebody is doing something wrong. We need a lot of people in place. I yield.
Hey, this is Tim. I wanted to say something.
Let me respond to the lady first, and then Judge Johnson is next, and then you, Tim, okay? Ma'am, I would like to respond to that and say it sounds like that you need to be setting up the assemblies in your county and considering becoming a grand jury administrator or a judge or somewhere along that line yourself, and that's what this call is about. We encourage everybody to do that, and we're trying to help everybody learn what they need to get going on that.
I've got a couple.
You cut out, ma'am. Ma'am, you started talking and then you cut out.
She disappeared.
Oh, she disappeared. Okay. Judge Johnson, why don't you take it and then Tim after you, sir.
Okay, I got a question for Judge Curry. It sounded like he wanted to take, by legislation effort, to take over State of Colorado Incorporated, which is a franchise of D.C. Did I hear you correctly?
Negative. I believe what I was trying to say was that we need to re-indoctrinate, re-educate our legislators who...
Well, they work for the corporation.
Of course they do. But any type of re-education programs that we can launch at our, let's say, skilled debaters, that's why they get into business anyway. They thought out of high school, well, I did well in debating class, so I should make a good politician. They need to be re-educated with the messages that we're talking about tonight. And if they can't be re-educated, it's no different than trying to re-educate a sheriff. If he can be re-educated, okay, that's fine. If not, let's get rid of him. That's really what I was trying to say.
Okay, just want to double-check on that. Didn't want to miscomprehend you. I yield the floor.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
And Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, is have we already tapped into, like, the constitutional sheriff or maybe, like, any legitimate oath keepers to be a marshal?
You know, anyone that wants to step forward is more than welcome to be a marshal. So... We don't try to limit anyone. If you think you have some contacts in there, I actually am friends with Sheriff Mack. So CSPOA, I'm familiar with all of them. I don't think we're going to get anywhere with that. And I said I stated why earlier, and that was because I think Richard Mack is truly a good person, but I think Richard is being controlled. I think he is being threatened with the fact that if he has anything to do with the common law, the common law grand juries, that they'll pull his 501c and go back to the last 7 years and charge him tax on all of his donations. And so I think that organization is being controlled. We may have some of that same issues with some of the churches.
If I may, Bruce.
Well, hold on. Let me see if Tim's finished with that. Did I answer your question?
I wanted
there?
To address that too.
Oh, okay. That's kind of what I wanted to know. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Kina, with your comment.
What we have found is that with with Richard Mack and with a lot of these sheriffs. They call themselves constitutional sheriffs, but I have not found one yet that has a lawful oath of office and bond. So how can they call themselves constitutional sheriffs?
Judge Doucette, when you get an opportunity, Yes, sir. Gentlemen, I think that Stalin said it best when he said, how do you lead the...
your volume.
Yes, I'm here. Is that better?
Little, but... You're still pretty low in the mud.
All right. Well, I'm doing the best I can here. I got a full signal. Here's the thing. A lot of the, like Stalin said, how do you control the opposition? You lead it. One of the things that I experienced when I was out at the Bundy Ranch with the Oath Keepers. Now, there's a lot of wonderful Oath Keepers, good Christian people that have every intention to uphold their oaths and do the right thing. When we arrived at the Bundy Ranch, our names were filled out on a 3x5 card, and that card was used essentially if somebody went missing or if somebody was hurt, that they had your information and they could get a hold of your next of kin, whatever the case. And we were told that when we leave the Bundy Ranch that we could take that card with us and tear it up, and there would be no record that we were ever there. One of the things that I found when I came to the command tent and I was standing there was that one of the Oath Keepers from Michigan had his laptop and he was recording the information from every one of those cards into a laptop. The next day, the so-called drone strike disinfo or whatever you want to call it was announced, and that particular Oath Keeper, along with the laptop, disappeared. So what we have going on with some of these organizations that are being created, I think for, you know, all the right reasons, everyone's jumping on board, and many of the people probably in the command leadership are good folks. But what we have here is a control that's so long-standing and so pervasive that I think when I join together with people like Justice Doucette and Justice Kerry, men that I know and that I can trust, this is the leadership needs to come from us. And I think that putting our faith in God and reaching out to these people and planting the seed is one thing. But going with these organizations, these 501c3 corporations that are controlled directly through the federal government may be a mistake. And I yield.
If I may,
hold on. Let me comment on that first, and then you, Judge Dunson. And Tom, you brought up a really good point, and there's a couple comments that I want to make on that. And one of those things being is, you know, that's what's nice about us people is that we're not a group. We're not a group. We don't have any leader. All of the efforts that are being put forth, you know, if something happened to me tomorrow, these would be carried on by the rest of the states and their counties and their people. And So that makes it harder for them to actually control us because we don't have any leaders. So I will yield with that, Judge Johnson.
Yeah, pertaining to the 501c3 situation, I know the answer to that. If you've got a pastor who's concerned about that, my email is out there. Have him get in contact with me. I know how to solve that problem. He may not like the solution too much because, as Curry pointed out, it will hit the pocketbook a bit. And as he also pointed out, that pocketbook is in fiction, not in fact. So I do have a solution to that. In fact, I'm attending one of those solutions and have been approaching the pastor of that 508 slowly and methodically. In fact, I'll be doing that this Sunday on a particular subject matter that I talked to some of the intercessors about this past Tuesday morning when I got on their prayer call. So there is a way to deal with that, and I yield the floor. Thank you.
Very good.
Yes, you may. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Judge Curry. One final note, and I'm going to have to call it a night, but I want to put an acknowledgement out to Hartford Van Dyke, who was able to construct a very good program for veterans. And Mr. Nolte over in Denver is pretty much heading this up, I believe. And it may or may not be a part of the common law grand jury, but here it is. The $60 billion, and I use the word trust very loosely here because that's not what Hartford intended. It is a bond program for veterans. If veterans will stand as marshals or as judges, there is a stipend available to them that is negotiable for their welfare and all their expenses. The program was recently released where veterans can be paid for standing up and protecting and serving their country. They do have to file certain papers, an application ahead of time, and periodical reports as to what they've done in restoring our country. And should they be able to document their efforts, they will continue to receive these stipends as negotiable financial instruments that are basically cashable at any bank. And once our American state banks are up and running, and I believe there are now three, according to Judge Anna, veterans can be rewarded, if I may use that term, for their efforts. So I will put that out there for everyone, and if you'd like, you can contact me or Mr. Nolte for more information on that program. So I yield.
Thank you, Judge Curry. And Roger Dowdell, are you still on the phone, sir? Anyone see Roger Dowdell on the board?
I'm looking for him. I didn't see him leave. Doesn't mean he didn't.
He did. May I?
Yes.
Yeah, are you hearing me okay?
Yes, we can hear you fine, sir.
Yeah, I had a couple questions here, but let me just get to the point here. In common law, your birthday is your conception day, and what I was wondering is, and maybe this is too hot a topic for you guys to touch, I don't understand how come, or maybe it's just nobody's brought this up yet, but this is, I've been trying to research common law, and it is the way to end abortion in our country, because
oh,
in the
God.
Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, somebody interrupted you. Go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry?
I'm
go ahead.
I said I'm yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I said that the through common law is a way to end abortion in our country. Through common law, can we bring lawsuits, initiate the process, and bring abortionists in and make sure they're either jailed or whatever? I mean, it just it seems to me...
Yes, that can be done.
You are listening to the Nationwide Common Law Judges Conference Call. Live. If you want to take part in this conference call, you can call 712-775-7035. The passcode is 782-102 pound sign. I'll give you that number again, giving you a second to get to a pen. The number is 712-775-7035. The passcode to enter the call is 782-102 pound signed, and continue to the call, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Tino.
The first thing that would have to happen, I'm an administrator. The first thing that would have to happen is someone would have to file a complaint with the common law grand jury, and they would have to show how they personally were harmed.
But could a person do it as a private attorney general when you're, from what I understand, that a person could do it from a position of a private attorney general and basically start like a class action lawsuit?
The common law doesn't work that way.
Okay. I'm sorry? I thought that in common law that you could do something as a private attorney general. I didn't know. I'm asking, so...
Go ahead and finish responding, Kino, and then Justice Roberts.
In common law, if there's no victim, there's no crime. So the first thing that would have to be established is that there's a victim, and they would have to show how they have been wronged. You cannot just say, well, I feel that this person over here was a victim, and under common law, there are no group suits, more or less. You're either a victim or you're not. And you have to show how you've been damaged.
If I may.
Well, no,
yes, I yield.
Robert,
go ahead.
Justice Roberts
goes first. Be the victim?
No, wait a minute. Justice Roberts goes first, okay? So don't step in unless you're invited. Roberts, go ahead, please.
Thank you. The gentleman has a heart issue for himself, and I understand that. However, when you talk about it being a spiritual war and how you want to address it, the first thing that you're going to come up against is you're not going to get someone who chooses that ugly thing to swear out or to make a claim that they was harmed. It's just not going to happen. It's also an underlying fact that when Roe v. Wade came along, crime went down drastically, and the police was trying to capitalize on it so they could hire more police and everything else. So that issue, deal with the common law, trust that struggle with the Lord. Let him deal with them people. He has all things established. He has all laws in place. And we've been very miserable stewards of all of that for way too long. And the people are now starting to realize that they're going to have to step forward and start living a righteous life. I really hesitate to say this, but you know, it's a personal issue for you. You can't bring it into common law because common law is unequivocal in the status that there is no injury, there is no claim. That's the bottom line. And I yield.
Well, and I think we've heard two people say that now. And I was looking at it as person or the spirit that was aborted was an injured party, but you're right. You have to have somebody that can come forward, and so I would agree with both Justice Roberts and Administrator Kino's comments on that. And who else wanted to come forward with a question?
Okay, I'll jump in for a second.
Okay, go ahead, Judge Johnson.
With a completely different direction. Are we having a Q&A tonight?
Probably not. We're allowing people to ask questions now if they have questions and to comment
then
on
I
this.
Will, and forgive me, folks, for putting it on before. I was clicking to do something on the board, and I clicked the wrong spot. Forgive me.
So I think what we're going to try to get to, and we need to get back on focus, is, okay, how are we going to go about getting all 200,000 or million marshals sworn in, and we know where we can find probably about 800,000 of those But how are we going to get the other 200,000? And I think we need to go back to trying to focus on those issues, because that's what we're trying to cover tonight. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. The one thing that's not being talked about in this whole thing this evening about bringing them all on board is status corrections for each one. That is paramount in this, in reclaiming yourself, for lack of better phrasing, so that you can become a marshal on the land, a judge on the land, a grand jury administrator on the land, a sheriff on the land, a so-called de jure living man-woman again. I yield the floor.
No, I would agree with that, Judge Johnson. And, you know, part of their correcting their status, they're doing when they swear their oath. But, yes, I do hear the rest of what you're saying as well.
Bruce, if I may.
Go ahead, Kino.
In Roger's pamphlet, I think he's addressed that issue rather well down in Florida.
He's got a pamphlet?
Yes. Roger has.
Okay, I'll send him an email and see if I can get that. Thank you.
Well, Kino has it. He can probably send it to you.
You have my email, Kino?
I have a question.
Yes, I do. In fact, where it's posted, you can't get to. Yes, I do have it, and I can email it to you.
Please do. Thank you. I yield the floor.
And Kino, were you done?
The only thing is, I want to say that this is just a rough draft. It's not the finished copy.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And ma'am, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Basically, the probate, I know that it's been kind of working under the color of law, which most people, I don't know if a lot of people are aware of it, but whenever people go through a probate, if they're filed on as incompetent or disabled, what basically happens is they are legally killed on paper so that they can be turned into a thing, so that they can be owned by the guardian conservator. And whether people realize it or not, anybody who's disabled can fall within that category. We have 53 million Americans that are disabled in some way. Anybody 65 and over falls within that category. And you don't have to have money to be a target. You know, I have been volunteering and advocating for families who have been under these conditions, where they actually file the state files through what they call the county administrator, which is a public guardian. And, for instance, in Missouri, these are voted officials. Not everywhere they're voted. Some are hired. But what these county officials do is they seize these people, and then they get life insurance on them. They basically incorporate with the SSI, whether they're disabled or not. I mean, it's went to the extreme to a point where they're actually human trafficking for a profit. And they will run over families and bypass everybody. And I really don't have any good solutions for this kind of criminal behavior, because when people lose their rights in a probate, and it can be just on a petition, once somebody files a petition, you don't even have to be aware of it. They can file a petition on you and say that you're not mentally competent, and you lose the rights to hire your own lawyer. You lose the rights to seek help, to make choices, and they can actually seize you and put you somewhere until everything's said and done. And I have extreme cases where, you know, my dad had went through it, and they had drugged him because this county actually was working with the hospital, and they were actually looking for people with money. Now, in this particular case, they were headhunting for money. And what they did was they basically drugged him to emulate a dementia so that they could file on him. And we didn't know it until maybe a year and a half later. But I have other cases where I have a girl who graduated high school. She had mild disability. She had what they call Asperger's. And they just basically put her in an institution. And then they put her to work. And then I saw, you know, with SSR's, what is it, Division of Aging, because that's what she falls under, because she's actually got a guardian. And this 20 18-year-old now. She's 20. She's been in it for almost 2 years. I can't even get any help. And I can't get any remedy for this kind of criminal behavior because when it comes to provision of the constitutional law, this at its very core, you know, we have a large amount of the population that could actually be monetized by these filings, and a lot of them are, a good 10%, and they lose all their rights. They don't have the right to vote. They don't have the right to stay married. They can divorce the wards. I've seen that. Just some really crazy stuff. They can kill you if they want, and it's legal. That's what they call it, legal. It's not legal. But what remedy do we have when it comes to these people who actually are very aggressive whenever we try to get these people free, like particularly in this one case?
Well, and that's the very thing that we're talking about tonight, ma'am, is the fact that, you know, that's why the people need to have their own marshals, and we need to have our own protection, because right now these criminals and these criminal corporations and pretend governments, there is nothing protecting the people from them. But if we can bring forward a million marshals, and, you know, we probably already have identified two different groups, and in those two groups that we're already working with, we have 800,000. Well, if we can get a million, that is 20,000 marshals for every state, basically.
Okay, but what is your process? I mean, you have to have a good understanding of common law. You have to have a good understanding of basically, you know, the ethics codes. And you have to be able to handle people.
More important than common law, I'm answering your question. Let's go with one question at a time here. You know, you have to have a good understanding of the Constitution. Because in real law, the Constitution is the law. You understand?
Bruce, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Keenum.
In my opinion, you're putting too much emphasis on the marshal service, because never forget, the marshals work under the auspices of the people's grand juries.
I don't disagree with that, sir.
So,
and all decisions come from the grand jury, not the marshals.
You can have 10 million marshals, but they still have to work under the auspices of the people's grand jury.
I don't disagree with that. But how do we clean up our counties with just the grand juries? We can't. We have to have marshals and the number of marshals to enforce whatever the grand jury is trying to put forth. And you're correct. It is for the grand jury to clean up these messes.
And that's why I believe, like I'm trying to do here, is getting Archuleta County's grand jury up and running, is that we're gonna overload the few grand juries that we have up. It's all well and fine that we have 27 states now with their state grand juries.
Judge DeSette, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're about to go off broadcast.
We need to put more emphasis on our county grand juries and get them up and running.
And I agree with that, Keno. Hold on just a minute. Tom, did you have a comment, sir?
Yes, sir. We're about to go off broadcast for the evening on our show, and I just wanted to – I'm sorry I had to interrupt, sir, because we're running out of time. But I just wanted to say to our audience, you can go to our Facebook, our Twitter feed, or Republic Broadcasting Network to get a full copy of this. Also, Revolution Radio, we'll be sharing the video podcast that's made from your other media folks there. And I would like to thank you all. God bless you all. May the Spirit of Jesus Christ be with you. And I commend you all for doing what you're doing. And from Resurrect the Republic, we thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Tom.
And folks, that's it. We're going to close out for Resurrect the Republic. Dirty Uncle Sam, have a great night.
We had somebody holler in there before you, Keno, and then you. Who hollered in?
I was, but we don't have enough time, but I was thinking of...
Oh, no, we're not rushed on time.
We'll see you next time.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, my concern was state citizenship, which on a U.S. passport is negative to U.S. national.
com with Resurrect Republic 30, Uncle Sam. You were listening to the Nationwide Grand Jury Judges Call. I thought you might find it very interesting. We'll see you next time on RTR Truth Media.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.